Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Hello, good evening. We're here again on Wednesday night, another sunny Wednesday night in Sheffield. It's Deserted Island Discs. This is the show which is about people that are born in Ireland, grew up in Ireland, and have moved to South Yorkshire. And each week we have a guest that tells us about their life through songs. So tonight I've got Stephen in. Steve McGovern. Hello, Steve. How are you doing?
Evening, Ben. How are you?
Well, Gran, thank you. Good to see you here. Thanks for coming on the show. So we've got an hour, Steve, to talk about your life, and through that we're going to do some music. So, Steve, I know you were born in Belfast in 1969. Well, just tell us a bit about kind of your earliest memories of growing up in Belfast. What was it like?
Yeah, I was born on 1st of October 1969. Mum and Dad are Mary and Seamus. We moved to West Belfast, Fulcarra Drive, Lenadoon. Eventually we ended up with a terraced house with three bedrooms. And then a couple of years later, my two brothers, Kevin and Mark, were born. We were always brought up well. We were looked after. My mum and dad worked hard. And it was an interesting time as the 70s grew on.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll come on to that in a bit, but it must have been, I mean, it's hard for anyone to imagine it wasn't there, what it was like growing up in those times of the troubles in the 70s and 80s. But so you're the oldest of three. Yeah. So you got your own bedroom, I hear.
Yeah, I was gifted with my own bedroom and my world global ball that lit up at night, whilst my two other brothers had to share a room and fight with each other. But that didn't stop all us three fighting with each other as well.
Oh, that's siblings, and particularly brothers, I imagine. So generally kind of feel like it was happy times there, and you feel right loved in that family. And your mum and dad are still alive, aren't they?
So. Yeah. So my parents, we've just been back to Ireland. So my dad's just celebrated his 82nd birthday. My mum, her 81st birthday. So we called over to visit them last week. So we had five nights with them and had some nice meals, couple of drinks, and we did a bit of reminiscing. As where my parents now live is literally 100, 150 metres where my mum was born and bred in the 40s. Okay. So it's quite ironic.
So they've gone back to there, yeah. So no, that's, so, go on, I mean, it's, so what? Where's that? Where did they live now? Is that in Monaghan? Where do they live now?
Yeah, it's Rosslea, which is approximately 5 or 6 miles from where they live in County Fermanagh. On the border with Monaghan, it's called Corraleek/Corragont, and it's like going back 45, 50 years when I was back, walked down the road and see my grandparents' little plot where they were growing up. And it's just brilliant now that my parents are retired to in a happy place.
Yeah, so it's like a small little town with a couple of pubs, is it? And
There's a couple of good shops, a couple of good pubs, and I know you won't mind me mentioning Mohan's, the village inn, which I went into, and several of your listeners and participants in the programme will have visited this
so
pub.
Previous guests,
previous guests.
Yeah, so we've had Helen, and who's Helen Hines, who's from that neck of the woods, isn't she? And Dermot's not too far away, I think, is he? Who's been on?
Yeah, he's bit further north up in Derry, but there's also John Cherry that plays with St Vincent's, and right. It's a small world.
Yeah. So part of what we do in the hour, for listeners not listening to before, is play songs. So you've picked some songs already for us. Your first one you've picked is Crystal Chandeliers. Do you want to tell us why you've picked that, Steve?
So the late 70s, we were lucky enough to have a record player. And my dad's collection had a various of Jim Reeves and other artists. But for some reason, I picked up on Charlie Pride and the Crystal Chandelier. And it's one of the first records, albums that stuck in my head. And I have it actually on my playlist for the gym. people might might think that's strange. But it's one of my earliest memories of growing up in West Belfast and getting into my music. And it's happy memories.
It's a great song. It's a classic. So Crystal Chandeliers, Charlie Pride.
All the crystal chandeliers light up the paintings on your wall. The marble statuettes are standing stately in the hall. But will the timely crowd that has your laughing loud help you dry your tears when the new lures of your crystal chandeliers? Never did fit in too well with the folks you knew. When it's plain to see that the likes of me don't fit with you, so you traded me for the gaiety of the well-to-do, and you turned away from the love I offered you. All the crystal chandeliers light up the paintings on your wall. The marble statuettes are standing stately around the hall. But will the timely crowd that had you laughing loud help you dry your tears when the newer's up of your crystal chandeliers? See your picture in the news most every day. You're the chosen girl of the social world, so the stories say. But a paper smile only lasts a while, then it fades away. And the love we knew will come home to you someday. All the crystal chandeliers light up the paintings on your wall. The marble statuettes are standing stately in the hall. But will the timely crowd that had your laughing loud help you dry your tears when the new lures off of your crystal chandeliers? When the new lures off of your crystal chandeliers.
Well done, Charlie.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you. Do you know how to finish a song then, Western? It's proper endings.
Fantastic.
Great songs. Well, I can't imagine you in the gym, though. It's not going to get you inspired, that one, is it?
No, not really. It's one of about 100 songs on my iPod playlist that goes from classic music to Irish music to trance music to dance music to 90s.
Yeah, so you've got it all. Well, you struggled, didn't you, trying to pick your songs today, didn't you?
Yeah, I've just an eclectic, is that the phrase? An eclectic mix of eclectic music from different genres and different generations.
Yeah, so well, we'll squeeze as many of your choices in as we can, but also it's important to get to know you and your journey from Ireland to Sheffield. So, really, we've not really started this journey yet. What was kind of school days like for you?
School days were pretty good. Not all people can say that. I end up going to St Oliver Plunkett on the Glen Road, West Belfast, in the about 1975, followed by both my brothers. it was pretty uneventful. I wasn't massively into my sport until I got to the end of my primary school years.
Was it a Catholic school, was it?
Or, yeah, yes. Yeah, it was a Catholic all-boys school, which right. was the norm back yeah. then. And it's, well, it's I think it's still the norm now. But as we progressed towards the end of the term time, there was there were issues that happened that stick in my mind, like the hunger strike in 1981, and going to school with my mum, watching riots and bin lids being banged on the floor, watching forklift trucks and lorries being hijacked, set on fire, roads blocked. So yeah. it was that left a, it sticks in my head to this day yeah. that it was bought up in early 1980s, 1981, and I've never forgot it.
No, you won't. I mean, that's going to stick with you, isn't it? And what was your mum's reaction to that? So was she like kind of holding your hand and getting you through these things?
Yeah. So by that stage, my mum was working part time as a waitress at various hotels around Belfast. My dad was a taxi driver, so he was working a lot of hours. So, but my parents would never influence us religiously, politically. They were neutral, good people.
Yeah, and just trying to stay out of it.
Yeah, they didn't try to impose their will on me and Kevin and Mark.
Yeah, yeah. You were telling me about earlier about your dad. That was an interesting story. So your dad was this black cab taxi driver. Just tell us how that works, yeah, because it was new to me. You were saying it's famous how it was, but
yeah,
it's probably just me. Yeah,
yeah, it's it started in the early 70s, and it's only recently packed in.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better word. And what it was a community taxi service from mainly areas of nationalist Republican areas of Belfast
yeah.
to get people from A to B safely to work, to hospital, to medical centres, to school. It was a really interesting time. It had dangers to it. They were subject to stop and searches, regular license checks.
Because people knew basically that if they saw, you know, six often blokes in a taxi, then they're kind of more likely to get stopped.
Yeah, so it would be quite alien to or different to people from outside Northern Ireland, the north of Ireland, where six people would share the taxi, one in the front, five in the back.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to stop at the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast, you'd use your coin, knock on the door, pay your 5p, your 10p, your 15, 20. It was alien. And after a few years, the whole of Belfast, both sides, both religions, used the same.
That's a good idea, isn't it? Cheap way to get into town.
So it was like a public service community taxi system that was affordable, and it bought a lot of it was an interesting time.
I suppose your dad would get to know lots of people, but also sometimes have to keep my head down as well. It's a balance.
Well, my dad was like that. He no interest in politics, religion, even GAA and football.
So, I mean, time's getting on. I mean, we want to talk a bit, I suppose, about your teenage years and how that was. But I suppose one of the songs that kind of links to what you were saying and also, well, you tell us about it, because it was a song that you kind of first found in your teenage years, which is the alternative All-Star Stiff Little Fingers one.
Yeah, so it made even a little bit before that, Ben. Right. So me and my best friend, Noco Burns, when I'd go down to his house, and his brother's actually called Jake Burns. The lead singer of Stiff Little Fingers is Jake Burns.
Right.
So when we went down, him and his older mates, who would have been 12, 13, 14,
okay,
we would
so
have been 9, good. 10, 11,
right.
We'd hear this song, and it stuck in my head. And then I was also prompted when I heard it earlier today.
So you heard it, today. So, let's play it and have a little, bop to this one.
Thank you. true, you know. They say they got control of you, and that's a lie, you know. They say you will never be free, free, free.
Stiff Little Fingers, Alternative Ulster. That's the choice of Steve McGovern, who's here tonight, and my guest on Deserted Island. This, it's a bit of a change from Crystal Chandeliers, isn't it? That's you talk about eclectic mix. That does it.
Definitely.
It's a cracking song, though. It's good and fits what you're saying, really. And I mean, I suppose it's kind of that. One of the things you're saying about your kind of teenage years, really, is getting away from that alternative Ulster for you was about getting into sport and, you know, that kind of focused you. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. So for me, once I reached sort of 10, 11, I got into Gaelic football and hurling with John Mitchell's Belfast, which was more literally just playing at it with plastic hurling bats. But I found a love then as I went to secondary school at De La Salle Belfast, just off the Andersonstown Road. I found more of a love, and I got picked for the Gaelic football team, the soccer team.
Yeah.
I also had my John Mitchell's GAA Gaelic team, so I ended up with several teams, several different sports, and I just loved it. It was just my passion sport, and it still is to this day.
So you threw yourself into the sport, and yeah, that kind of, I suppose, it helps with like friendships and socialisation and stuff. And
yeah, so the club I joined, John Mitchell's, would have been a 20-25 minute walk away, but right, that opened up another side of Belfast. That opened up day trips, visits to other clubs around Antrim and further afield, and it was a great. I loved it. That's, you can see me passion now,
yeah,
of sport. That I just, I on one Saturday I end up playing four matches in one day. I played for my school soccer team and the state football team. It may have been an under 16 Gaelic football match at 3, and then I would have played a minor at the time. It would have been under 18, yeah, at 7 at night. So I live for that. And my music. And
yeah. So, I mean, we are going to go through your life kind of chronologically and in there, but just sticking on the sport, did you do much sport when you came to Sheffield? Or?
Not really. When I came to Sheffield, I worked at Meadowall Shopping Centre in July 1990. And after a short while, we started a football team, soccer team. So I was playing 11-a-side football on a Sunday evening over Aurora, Brinsworth direction. That would have been my extent of sports at the time.
Why do you think that is then? So you've gone from like being like really kind of passionate about sports and not doing a lot. Was that just kind of the change of coming to England and stuff? Or?
Yeah, I think when I got here, it was finding my feet, finding new friends, working out where it was
going. Yeah.
Finding the pub, which I found quickly. And then once it took a while to build up relationship at Meadowall, but once we did, a lot of the guys in particular, lads at the time, loved football, soccer, golf, other sports.
Yeah, so we do it. Well, we'll try and stick to the timeline and go back to, take you back to Belfast. And so your next song choice is Chance by Big Country. Just tell us a bit about why you chose that.
Arguably, it's in my top three.
Songs of all time.
It's the first proper band that I saw in King's Hall, Belfast, and it would have been 84, 85. I can't remember the exact timeline, but we got tickets for it in the King's Hall. Stuart Adamson is my hero. loved him. He previously with the Skids. And so me and my mates, me, Noco Burns, Del Harris, Jerry Monaghan, we used to go to King Saul, so we saw them twice. Or so this song for me, it's got a lot of meaning to it, and it's a beautiful song.
Okay, so Chance by Big Country. Chance, which is the choice of our guest tonight, Stephen McGovern. Hello, Stephen. How are you finding it so far? How's the show going?
Very very good, enjoying it.
It's good. You feel like you kind of relaxed now, aren't you?
Relaxed a bit after the pre-nerves.
Yeah, no, you're fine. You're doing great, doing great. Deserted Island Disc, and we're talking about your life from Ireland to Sheffield. So We've got to the point, really, so your teenage years, and you were saying, really, that school wasn't academically, that like you were kind of, that it wasn't, you had enough of it, really, and you kind of got a job as soon as you could, really. Is that fair?
Yeah, so I got my O-levels stroke GCSEs.
Okay.
Did take out on the adventure of A-levels. I had enough. So what I then did, I had a part-time job in Belfast City Centre. I ended up getting a full-time job and struck up a relationship with, as friends, with the manager. So after year two, come 1990, he disappeared to Sheffield one night. I was working at Robinson's Bar at Belfast City Centre, and many of your listeners will know that pub. It's quite a famous one next to the Crown Inn. So when he came back at the time, I had my interview whilst I was washing glasses and serving pints in Robinson's, and he offered me a job as a security officer at Meadowhall, Sheffield. So I thought, I'm 20-year-old. I want to stand on my own two feet. I want to look after myself. I want to become a man. That's my thought process then. So, and then I, in July 1990, end up in Sheffield.
Working at Meadowhall. And you're still here since, aren't you? You've never left Sheffield in terms of living, have you? You've always lived here, have you?
Yeah, it's 35 years in July just gone. No regrets.
No, it's a great city. So I'm not from Sheffield, and I've been here not as quite as long as you, but I think I'm 25 years in, and it is a great city, very welcoming. What a great place for us all. So you came to Sheffield, so you didn't really know many people. You knew this fella, your boss.
Yeah, Ron Abrahams, shout out to Ron, Scottish fella. So him and his wife, and that was it.
Yeah, are they still in Sheffield or...?
No. I don't know where they are now. They did go back to Scotland, but I've lost track.
So what was it like then? So you didn't really know anyone, but obviously something must have been good for you to stick around. You didn't go, oh, this is rubbish, I'm going back, no?
I found the people in Sheffield and South Yorkshire just really friendly, hospitable, welcoming. One of my colleagues, who's actually from Belfast, at Meadowhall, so he became an uncle, father figure to me.
Nice.
And that's progressed through. I haven't seen Colin for years, but I had a couple of little links. I felt really welcome. And then, of course, once I found certain pubs in Sheffield, the link widened.
So you basically, the pubs you're talking about, there's a little Irish corner of Sheffield that's been there for some time. So there's the Dog and Partridge, as it was, and but you kind of went to Fagin's first, yeah?
Yeah, so we were speaking early. The first pub I went to was the Dog and Partridge, Ari's pub, and I went, oh, it's a bit busy.
Yeah.
So me and a friend called Chris McGreal went, well, we'll pop down the road to Fagin's. So went into Fagin's and had a couple of pints there. Sorry, Anne. But very quickly we found our way 150 metres back up the hill.
Back up the hill. Yeah. Well, they're both great pubs, aren't they? I mean, Fagin's, great music that goes on. Do you ever play any music yourself or sing? Or?
No, tone deaf. I have sung, but tone deaf. I can't play any instruments. I have sung on a stage, but... No, not good, Ben.
Not tonight, no.
Definitely not.
Okay. Well, we'll move on to a song that you can sing, everyone can sing along to. You've done When You Were Sweet 16, The Furies in Dave Yarfer live. Do you tell us why you picked this one?
Again, it reminds me of, as I'm getting a bit older, and my dad had the Furies and Dave Yarfer album, And amongst the songs, the Green Fields of France, yeah. Red Rose Cafe was Sweet 16. And I just remembered I'd passed my driving test, so I was getting older. And I just love this song, and I like it to this day.
Beautiful song. Thank you.
saw the love line came. I thought the world held not but joy for me, and even though we've drifted far apart, I never dreamed but what I dream of thee. As I've never loved before. Since first I saw you on the village green, come to me in my dreams of love alone. I love you as I loved you when you were sweet, when you were sweet, 16. I love you as I've never loved before. Soon as first I saw you on the village green, come to me in my dreams of love alone. I love you as when you are sweet, when you are sweet, 16. Sing it with me. I love you as I've never loved before. Soon as first I saw you, and he has come to me in my dreams. I love you as I loved you when you were sweet, when you were sweet. The last time, come on, let's see this. I love you as I've never loved before. Since first I saw you on the village green, come to me in my dreams of love alone. I love you when you are sweet, when you are sweet, 16.
I like the live version. It's like this happened for us, isn't it? Like for Stephen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So, Deserted Island Disc. So, what happens is most weeks I have a guest on who was born in Ireland, now lives in South Yorkshire. What we're doing is 1 week of this, and then the next week is me doing Irish songs. And if you listened last week, we had a great hour talking about the Dog and Partridge CD. It was good. So back in 2003, the Dog and Partridge people made a CD, and there's 39 tracks of it. And I think we did about 6 or 7 last week. So we'll carry on with that next week and chat some more about them fine times and fine people that made beautiful music in the Dog and Partridge and Fagans. But tonight it's about you, Stephen. Still, we'll carry on. And your time. So we established that you came to Sheffield really on a bit of a whim, wasn't it? It was like nothing better to do. Been offered a job, more money, and let's go and do that. So you're working in Meadowhall as a security guard, is that right?
Yeah, security officer, and spent 10.5 years there. Really enjoyed it. It made a man person out of me, stand on my own 2 feet, look after myself. But it was a really good time. Met loads of great people, all different backgrounds, all different careers. And I've got, again, no regrets with that.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, lots of people there. There'd be loads of people work there. I mean, a massive team of people that work there. And you'd probably get good training and, to do that properly, wouldn't you, there?
Oh, yeah, the initial training, because it was one of the biggest in Britain. So we end up training for 6 or so weeks before the centre opened. So it would have been first aid. We did law training, customer care training.
Oh, so you were there?
Role-based scenario before it opened,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, right, I didn't click that. Yeah, so you were like there when it, like, opening day and, yeah.
Yeah, role.
Dragged in there, yeah.
Green behind the ears or the gills, and it was brilliant training. Really.
So what was Meadowhall like back then? Was it busy from day one, or did it take time for people to know? People knew about it and straight down there?
Yeah, it was pretty much before the era of social media, it was packed. So I finished the morning it opened on 4th of September 1990. Once the doors opened, people just flooded in, and it was virtually always busy.
Yeah, yeah. No, that well, I can imagine. Yeah. So, I mean, what was your role there in particular? So you get involved. I mean, over the time as kind of a lay person there, you hear lots of things about security at Meadowhall in terms of, like, you know, it's always like been known as being a potential terrorist target from. All sorts of things going on there. Was that part of it or not?
That was an interesting, shall we say, sideshow from where I was from.
Yeah.
1990 up till 1993 before the ceasefire.
Yeah.
There was still quite a fear that there would be some form of terrorist attack.
Yeah.
But it was very well run. The main job of the security officers was on the malls and the car parks, and you were covering areas. But there were some scares. There were some scary moments. But for some reason, they missed Sheffield.
Yeah.
Never touched Meadowhall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good. So back to you. And so you significant things happened in your life that kept you in Sheffield, eh? So you're married, and so tell us about meeting your wife and all that.
My long-suffering wife, Amanda, her name Amanda Kate Primrose, now Amanda McGovern. I actually knew my mother and father-in-law several years before my wife.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law, around 1998, stitched us both up on a date for the Meadowhall Christmas do, and the rest is history. We've been together ever since. We just celebrated our 21st wedding anniversary this April.
Right. Yeah.
The day after St. George's Day, which is a little joke amongst us. I nearly got married on the patron saint of England.
Yes. But so tell us about her. So she's a Sheffield girl, yeah?
Yeah, Mandy. Amanda's from Winkerbank, born and bred.
Not far from Meadowhall, yeah?
Yeah, close to Meadowhall. Her mum and dad are great. I got on great with them. We've got a close relationship. Amanda's had to put up with me for years, for changing jobs, travelling with me to London when I progressed to my next career, to me disappearing to London to work in night shifts. And then when we had a daughter, baby yeah. daughter, I wouldn't be there. I'd be working shifts. I'd yeah. be off
yeah.
Busy.
Yeah. How old's your daughter now?
She'll be 18 on 20th oh, okay. of December. I've got that right. Yeah, yeah. She's going to be 18, but she's still my little girl.
Well, your next song obviously is related to your wife. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, it's not exactly the most romantic of first dance wedding songs, but I was left in charge of it, and it's a song I love. We had a really good dance tune, and it's
sorry, go on. Yeah, right.
It's REO Speedwagon, Keep On Loving You.
Okay, here we go. So it's REO Speedwagon, Keep On Loving You. Let's try that.
You should have seen by the look in my eyes, baby, there was something missing. You should have known by the tone of my voice, maybe, but you didn't listen. You played dead, but you never played. Instead you laid still in the grass,
saying that's not romantic. That, I mean, how can you say keep on loving you? That's, you can't get more romantic than that, can you?
Yeah, once I picked it, listened to it and saw some of the lyrics and went, oh.
Oh, I don't know it that well.
It's me overthinking.
Yeah, okay, right. Well, I'm going to have to go back and read all the lyrics to that now. Yeah. So, right, Stephen, you know what happens in this show? We always run out of time. We've kind of... we're just digressing, find interesting things to talk about. But I suppose a major part of your life was your next job and your career there. So we need to do as much as we can around that, Steve.
To go back to the 80s, when I was in Belfast, I'm thinking, well, what job do I want? So I always wanted to be a firefighter. And there were reasons for that. And then obviously came to Meadowhall in the 90s, and I ended up working with the police, the ambulance, the fire, yeah, on multiple occasions on training scenarios. And I sort of then, about 97, had a change of direction. I started the plan for fire service, and then that carried on to, by which stage I'd met Amanda.
Yeah.
And she, she came to London with me at four, setting off at 4 o'clock Sunday morning to go to London headquarters to do fitness assessments, to North Yorkshire, to Greater Manchester, to Derbyshire, London, travelling around. So yeah, eventually I got in Cheshire. So I got accepted end of 2000. And started in February 2001.
In Cheshire?
Oh. In Cheshire, yeah.
Right, right.
And somehow got through me training. spent 5 years in Cheshire. Right. And then I transferred to South Yorkshire Fire and Rescue. And I've literally gone from travelling 70 mile a day to getting in South Yorkshire.
So you commute to Cheshire?
Yeah. I was based at Macclesfield.
Right.
Yes, so I was lucky. I've got in South Yorkshire Fire and Rescue, and it just made my life easier. I had a great time, great colleagues. I retired after just under 24 years.
Wow, yeah.
1st of October last year.
Yeah.
I got some really good friends, some good bonds, and we had a link from ex-armed forces to, there were people of Irish descent, people from around the world, and we were there together, and that teamwork and that looking out for each other, because on occasion you saw situations, scenarios that were not nice, and you relied on each other, and you relied on your shoulder to cry on, you relied a bit of dark humour on occasion.
Yeah, well, I imagine, I mean, you just seem so horrific things, wouldn't you, and that's kind of, that's part of the job, I suppose. But did you have things like... you know, like, did you get like counselling or psychological support in that kind of job for those kind of things, or was it like your mates get you through? Or?
As time progressed, and probably from 2010 onwards, there was more, maybe even 20 more mental health provision.
Yeah,
you got the Blue Light Charity, Mind, the Firefighter Charity, and also local. Within South Yorkshire, they offered like a counselling service with occupational health, and I've got to credit the South Yorkshire. They were getting very serious, very into firefighters and all operational staff's mental health, mental awareness. They'd come and visit you on station after a traumatic incident.
Yeah.
Sometimes you didn't want to talk.
Yeah.
Sometimes you did. But then they would contact. So yeah, so there's a whole network of volunteers,
people that
now will contact.
Yeah, good. Well, it's needed, isn't it? Needed for the people that are still doing it today, but also for you guys that did it for so many years, I suppose. But you've got, you've still in touch with lots of the firefighters still, and you were saying that kind of fitting in as part of the Irishman in there. Then you made him watch Gaelic football?
So I spent 6.5 years at Central Fire Station, literally a stone throws from here.
Yeah.
So we got back one Saturday afternoon, and I love my Gaelic football and hurling, so we got back, had a cup of tea and put the Gaelic football on. Mayo were playing, I forget who, which will suit you then.
we lost.
Yeah. So there was much merriment amongst some of the guys and girls of who's this and some of the names.
Yeah.
But a couple of men end up watching it, and so then maybe the week after, if we were on duty on a Saturday or a month's time, the hurling would be on.
Yeah.
So they'd be asking me for, what's the rules, the regulations, the scoring, the this, that and the other. And I've said earlier on, Ben, just quickly, that one of the guys who I thought would not be interested messaged me on the All-Ireland Hurling Day and says, Steve, I hope you're watching Tipperary in Cork, and this is what I would call a proper British ex-armed forces, and so we end up watching.
So you did that, didn't you?
I'm not taking sole responsibility, as there were several people of Irish background within South Yorkshire Fire and Rescue.
So you retired So well, less than a year ago, and what's the? I mean, you're still a young man, aren't you? So you're not.
Yeah, I'm 55, 56 yeah. in October. So, I've done my time for me physically and mentally. I thought it's time for a change, and I work part time at Waitrose delivering food,
right.
which is hard work. I do a bit of gardening, a bit of maintenance, but I do stuff that suits me and my family. Amanda works from home now, works for Sheffield City Council. Cara's doing her A-level, so overall we've got a pretty good work-life balance between us.
So great.
And school balance.
So we've got your final song, and then we'll have a little couple of minutes at the end of the show just to say goodbye and to thank you for the show. But yeah, your next song choice is the Town I Love So Well. We've got the Luke Kelly version, yeah. Is it just well, I suppose it's, go on, tell us why you picked this one.
Okay, this song for people of Irish descent, Irish nationality, even though the song is, I believe, about Derry, it could be Belfast, it could be Strabane, it could be Rosslea, it could be Dublin, Cork. So for me, it's a song that's all-encompassing. Luke Kelly's a genius. It's a fantastic song, and the lyrics are fantastic.
Great. The Town I Love So Well.
The gas yard wall, and we laughed through the smoke and the smell. Going home in the rain, running up the dark lane, past the jail and down behind the fountain. Those were high. In so many, many ways, in the town I loved so well. In the early morning, the shirt factory horn called women from Cregan, the moor and the bog, while the men on the dole played a mother's role, feathered the children, and then trained the dog. And when times got tough, there was just about enough, but they saw it through without complaining. Deep inside was a burning pride in the town I loved so well. There was music there in the dairy air, like a language that we all could understand. I remember the day that I earned my first pay, when I played in a small pickup band. There I spent my youth, and to tell you the truth, I was sad to leave it all behind me, for I'd learned about life, and I'd found a wife in the town I loved so well.
town could be brought to its knees by the armored cars and the bombed out bars and the gas that hangs on to every breeze. Now the army's installed by that old gas yard wall, and the damned barbed wire gets higher and higher. With their tanks and their guns, oh my God, what have they done to the town?
The Town I Love So Well. That's the Luke Kelly version. Great song. So we're just going to finish up, Stephen. So Stephen's been my guest tonight. Born in Belfast, now living in Sheffield. He's talked about his life all the way through. But you want to kind of... You're doing shout-outs, or is it mentions? Or
thank you, Ben, for this evening. It's been good just to talk about stuff that I haven't really spoke about in this one-on-one scenario. First of all, if listeners, if you're around this Friday evening, South Yorkshire Fire and Rescue have got a charity cricket match against Norton Oaks Cricket Club up at Norton Oaks, starting at 5 p.m. There's face painting, barbecue, bar, and a lot of the money raised will be for the firefighters charity benevolent fund to look after injured firefighters and their family. That would be amazing. So that's Norton Oaks Cricket Club at 5 o'clock this Friday, and a really good friend of mine, Sam Loxley's organising it. And it would be remiss of me not to thank all my fire brigade union colleagues for their support over the years and the battles we've had and that we've won, and appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Are you going to be there Friday evening?
I'm working.
Oh, you're working. Are you not coming there? I'm sure it'd be a chance for people to meet you, Stephen, and ask you more questions about your life. But we'll have to get you on for part two, Stephen. I feel like we've rushed it a bit, haven't we, as usual. But it's been great to have on the show. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Next week on Deserted Island Disc, we're going to play songs from the CD from The Dog and Partridge. Good night, everyone.